Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this 16th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. And we will read from verse 21 through 35, which is the end of that chapter. So that's Matthew 18, 21 to 35, where we read in the name of our Lord. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, how beautiful your grace is. And Father, how freely it is bestowed. And so, Father, we freely bestow the same. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. As I've told you many times, we ignore the context of the Gospels to our own harm. Last week we talked about the church discipline because that's what's in here, is talking about church discipline. And it's after that section on church discipline that Peter says, well, how long do I have to put up with this stuff? And it's fascinating. You know, like I say, Peter is always us. You know, he always comes up, he says, well, how long do I have to do this? And then he waxes really religious. He says, gotta be seven, because everybody knows that's a godly number. So he says, you know, how often do I have to put up with this? How about seven times? Is that good? And Jesus says to him, no, that's not it. He says to him, 70 times seven. In other words, in another place, he says, every time. He says, every time. And he tells this great parable. He says, there is a guy. And this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says, this guy was taking account of all of his servants, and we talk about that all the time. He says, and when he had begun to do that reckoning, he looked and he saw, he said, that there was a guy, and this guy owed him a ton of money. I mean, this is a ton of money. In the ancient world, 10,000 talents of silver is a lot of money. It's a huge, huge debt. And it says that the guy didn't have the ability to pay it. So as it was in the ancient world, you had to settle this debt somehow. So in the ancient world, you could sell people and sell their families and do all these sort of things, and that was kind of their way of handling it. He says, so he ordered him to be sold with all of his family to pay off the debt. But the guy, it says, bowed down on the ground and he humbled himself before him. And he said, he asked for patience. Be patient with me. He says, and I'll repay everything. And it says that the master had great mercy upon him, and he released him, and he forgave the loan. Because this is the nature of God. This is just what God does. And this is what we were talking about with church discipline. Church discipline is not to bring harm. And that's why Jesus is bringing this out. It's not to bring harm. It's to restore the soul of the person who has offended. Because the whole thing in the gospel is to have grace. It's to have grace. But if a person refuses to acknowledge it, then they're in jeopardy. And this is why Jesus says this. This doesn't have anything with the gospel. It doesn't have anything to do with forgiveness. It's all forgiven. Everything is forgiven. That's the whole point. But the whole purpose of everything that is done in the gospel is to save. It's to save. It's to restore. So that when these things are done, they're done in this way. And we understand this because we need that restoration. We need to be restored. We need to come to this point and realize this. And this is the free gift of God. God freely gives that to the penitent. God freely gives this and says very clearly, he acknowledges that penitence and he gives it. The point of this is what he was saying, and Peter got this. He realized this. He says, what I'm talking about to you is when people are impenitent, not when they're penitent. When they're penitent, they receive the grace of God in fullness and openly. And this is the whole point of this. There is a grace that is greater than all of our sin. And we need to understand this in relationship to dealing with God. God's grace is freely given and freely poured out, and it is to be freely received. And this is why the context of this is so important, is to recognize very clearly this is what he's saying. But then the guy who is forgiven goes out, and he has a guy come up to him, and that guy owes him 100 denarii, which is a manageable debt for the day. That's 100 days' wages. Comes up, he grabs him in a stranglehold and says, you owe me, you pay me. And the guy says, well, be patient with me, and I'll do it. And he wasn't willing. Instead, he went and threw him into prison until he would pay what he owed. And it says, when his fellow officials saw what happened, they were very upset. And they went back and they reported to their master what had happened. And he summoned him, and he says to him, you wicked official, he says, I forgave you all your debt. I forgave you all your debt. Simply because you asked. So simply because you asked. He says, shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow official as I had mercy on you? He says, so, being angry, he handed him over to the jailers to pay all that was owed. And he says, so also, my Father, the Heavenly One will do to you, unless you forgive each one his brother from your heart. You see, this story is all about the grace of God. And as receivers of the grace of God, we have got to be found gracious. That's the key. The grace of God, by his mercy and grace, transforms us to make us to be gracious. And that's the way we live in the world, is we live graciously. We live graciously. You see, we need to understand that day in and day out, we have the 10,000 talent debt. We are sinners of the highest order. But God, in his grace and his mercy, forgives us. Because he's just that kind. He forgives us. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the testimony of that forgiveness. And that's why it's so interesting that it's Jesus who's talking about this. Because Jesus is saying this, knowing full well that he is the means of this forgiveness. He is the means of bringing this grace into the world. And so as he says this, this is exactly what he's talking about, because he is going to be the one who forgives. He's going to forgive. And when we fall upon him for that grace, he just gives it. That's the whole thing. It's just that easy. We come to him, he just, yep, okay, yeah. I forgive the debt. I wiped it out. It doesn't even matter anymore. There's no value to it anymore. 10,000 talent debt. More debt than a person could probably amass in their whole life at this time. He says, yep, forgive it all. Forgive it all. Nothing. Nothing left of it. Whole thing. I don't even remember any of it. Says it's all freely given to you. And that's the point. That's the point of the gospel. But as we have people who have received so great a forgiveness, then we're enlisted by him to go out and do the same. To go out and do the same. That we ourselves need to be gracious people. And this is the whole point of what I'm saying about the context. This is the whole context of this. To understand that impenitence doesn't work in the church. There has to be this grace, and it has to be reciprocal. It's given. It's given in this regard, and it has to be given away. Or otherwise, it doesn't maintain its graciousness. It loses the graciousness, and it becomes just like this guy who's willing to sell the other guy in order to pay off a much smaller debt. And this is why Jesus told this story, to understand that this is the nature of how things are in God's kingdom. God is gracious. He's gracious, very, very gracious. He doesn't withhold his forgiveness from anyone. He doesn't withhold it. He bestows it very, very freely. But he also, as he bestows it, he seeks for us to bestow it, to give it, to freely give it. Because in this world, that's what we need. We need it. We need it to be freely given. And we need it to be freely understood. And we need to be gracious people in the world. Because we have received so much grace. And that's precisely the rub, isn't it? You see, because we have that little thing within us that we like to be let off, but we don't want anybody that does anything to us to be let off. We figure that God should get them. And God isn't interested in getting anybody. He's interested in being gracious. Anything that prevents that grace from being carried out in the church, and that's the point of church discipline, God says, yeah, you have to do something about that. You have to stop that. You can't allow that to go on. Because now it changes the whole reputation of the church, and it changes everything that happens in relationship to it. And it changes how people see God. And it changes how they understand God. And all of a sudden, like I say all the time, God becomes more like Santa Claus. You know, you do this, you get that. You do this, you get that. You know, the old lumps of coal thing in your stocking. And we all recognize right away we should have got nothing but lumps of coal in our stocking. Maybe that's outdated. But God, freely by his grace, gives us his best through the finished work of Jesus. And God, by his grace, enlists us to do the same. He enlists us to do the same. And this is why he says this to St. Peter. And St. Peter, like I say, is always us. St. Peter comes out and he's always figuring out the angle. Well, how often do I have to put up with this? How often do I have to do this? And Jesus says, you just have to do it. You just do it. Because that's the nature of God. That's why when we do communion, we simply summon you freely. We summon you freely. We just freely say to you, you freely come. You freely come. We're not trying to examine you. You know, we're not trying to figure out where you're at. You need to do that. You need to do that. And this is God's grace. And that's why God just freely says, well, yeah, you come. You just come. You just come. Because God forgives. And God, in his mercy and his grace, forgives freely. He forgives freely. And he freely calls. He freely restores. So that you can smile. That's the whole point. It's okay. It's okay to have a little bit of joy. And if you're troubled, then it's okay to find that joy in the forgiveness of God, in Jesus the Christ. And then it's good to find that grace and be gracious. Be gracious. Be kind. Be aware. And live graciously in the world. Because that's what people need. They don't need any more nonsense. They don't need any more hard-heartedness. They need grace. There's people out in the world, they don't understand grace at all. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the church, they don't understand it either. Because grace is so great. It is so immense. It's beyond human calculation. Which is why it can only be given freely. And it is. It's given freely. It's given freely. Receive the grace of your Lord. Oh, I got it. Believe me. Believe me. Boy, if you only knew half of it. I have received nothing that I deserved. Nothing. But the grace of God and his goodness has given me more than I could ever imagine. Because there is a grace that's greater than all of our sin. enables us to freely come into grace. A grace that we can freely give away and never exhaust. For Jesus' sake, let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, you who look so fondly upon your children, you who seek us to come to you, Father, that you may take away our sin and wash us and cleanse us in the blood of your Son. We pray, Father, this day, even as we come for this holy sacrament, that, Father, once again you would renew us by your Holy Spirit, that you would break any hardness of heart, that, Father, you would allow people to freely receive what you have freely given. Father, allow us to take what we have freely received and freely give it away. That in every way, Father, your name would be hallowed and glorified for your marvelous grace. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.